Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is that we have a congregational meeting called for today, immediately following worship. The point and purpose of this meeting is singular, and I'll describe it. It's to elect elders for the class of 2026. That's the sole purpose for our meeting. We'll convene it immediately following our worship and then vote the measure and then depart. So we'll give a beat for people that are not members that want to depart, and then we'll come into it. We'll also collect the 10 cents a meal offering this morning, and just remember that can be given in a couple of ways. You can either put it in the thing on the way out, you can bring it forward after the collection plate is passed you and put it in the church or in the plates. However you'd like to do it, it's this morning. The 2024 offering envelopes are in the narthex today. Looking ahead, on January 7th, we will celebrate Epiphany with the sacrament of Holy Communion and the crowning of three members king for the day. So somebody needs to go to Burger King and get the king, the crowns, right?
We actually have them.
They're not Burger King. Y'all, we are moving up in the world, right? This is awesome. Thank you, Ginger. So the three kings will be crowned. That's a lot of fun. Also that day, following worship, we'll de-decorate, take down the Christmas decorations. And gosh, you know, that'll be hard to do. We had such an amazing Christmas. I know many of you were here to join us for the two services and that day. And just what an amazing spirit that the Lord showed out with. It was just an amazing time. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are to remember Joy Hilton on her first heavenly birthday, which was Christmas Day, placed by Elizabeth Bullock, Phyllis Monteith, and all Joy's family who loved her greatly. We all miss her, and she will be forever alive in our hearts. Thank you. Those are the announcements that I have today. Are there any others that need? Oh, we're not going to have lemonade on the lawn outside. It's too cold. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay, hearing none, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hear the word of the Lord, who gathers us from the farthest part of the earth.
We come together, drawn by the promise of his love and comfort.
In his bounty, we are like a garden flourishing, filled with the joy of his presence.
We rejoice in the abundance of his grace, celebrating.
Through Christ, all things in heaven and on earth are brought together.
We embrace our calling to live as one body, united in his purpose and love.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, in your wisdom and love, you call us from the distant corners of our lives to gather in your holy presence. As we come together today, let us be mindful of the richness of your blessings, the abundance of your love, and the unifying power of your Spirit. You have nourished us like a well-watered garden flourishing under your care. In Jesus Christ, you have unveiled a grand plan, bringing together heaven and earth, calling us to live as a unified body. As we worship you today, fill our hearts with a deeper understanding of your purposes, strengthen our bonds of fellowship, and renew our commitment to live out your love in the world. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 179. Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace, and he has commanded us to share that peace with the world. And fulfilling that command, let us now celebrate it by passing the peace of Christ here with each other. George, why this? First John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, John goes on to tell us, God will forgive us of our sins and wipe clean from us any and all transgressions. And so it's with humility and a full sense of who we are that we confess our sins to our God, expecting not to encounter his distaste, but rather his amazing grace. So join me as we pray our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. O Lord, our Redeemer and Sustainer, we confess that we have often strayed from the path you have set before us. In our individual pursuits, we have neglected the unity you desire for your people. We have allowed divisions to grow and our hearts to become dry and barren, forgetting the nourishing grace you offer. Forgive us for the times we have failed to recognize your blessings, and for the moments we have not lived as a testament to your unifying love. In your mercy, guide us back to the garden of your presence, where we can flourish together in harmony and peace. Teach us to live as a community that reflects your grace, compassion, and love, united in our diversity and steadfast in our pursuit of your will. Amen. Friends, the Bible gives us a great and wonderful truth, a truth that is not diminished or dimmed by the ages that pass, that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ took flesh, and having lived, suffered, he died for us and for our salvation. He rose again into heaven to assure us that our place in heaven was cemented and that our fellowship with God the Father Almighty was entirely and completely restored. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. We now affirm our faith using the language of the Apostles' Creed, also printed in your bulletin this morning. Join me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 192.
Silent storms go by.
this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a time with Miss Petey that's just for them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all? Did you have a good Christmas? Good. Good. I believe that I did this same children's sermon this same Sunday last year. And I asked you then, what kind of things did you expect to happen in the new year? Now I'm going to ask you, did you have any blessings? Did you have any good expectations this past year? Ben, did you make a certain level in band? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And Aiden, you started a new school. How's that going? It's going good. So you've had some blessings, right? You had some blessings? Good. It's good to hear. I have too, but we've also had some things that happened that we probably didn't want to happen. But it's okay, because God takes care of us. In Ephesians 1, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And he gathered us together." Are we gathered together today? Of course we are. "So God, through Christ, brought unity to all of us in heaven and on earth." I want you to remember your blessings from this year, and I hope that you have many blessings in the coming year. You pray with me? Dear God, thank you for blessing us.
Thank you for blessing us.
And let us remember that those blessings come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great New Year's Eve, and I hope 2024 is good for you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's Word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for our illumination. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, descend upon us by your Holy Spirit's power, illuminating for us these words, ancient and yet still powerful and meaningful to us today. Awaken in us a desire to know you and to trust you with more of our lives as these words are read and penetrate the hardness of our hearts. Awaken our desire to follow you more robustly in the coming year. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today's Old Testament scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 10 through 14, and it can be found on page 783 in the Pew Bible. "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. For I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will feast at the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading today comes to us from the book of Ephesians as Paul sits down to write this letter to a group of churches that are gathered there together in Asia Minor. After a brief greeting and declaration, he opens the letter with this particular passage, which represents verses 3 through 10 of the first chapter of Ephesians. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's interesting. I was reminded this week as I did my preparations that the entire passage that we just read represents just one sentence in the ancient Greek, in the Koine Greek. It's a complex sentence and there's a lot to unpack, but it reminded me of something that happened relatively early on as I was a pastor. At the beginning of my pastorate, Bible software was really getting very cutting edge and really exciting. And they had a program called BibleWorks. They still do, I think. And it would show you the text in the Greek and the Hebrew and the English. And you could put a little cursor on and it would show you not only the word, but the tense of the verb if it was one and how it related. I mean, it was an amazing thing. And it was easy, you know, As a new pastor, it was kind of fun because you could do really high-powered research and then just copy and paste it right into your sermon. It was a great project. But one day I got the kind of order messed up, you know, in my head, the way you kind of do so much with a keyboard, you get the keys reversed or something like that. And I went to go and copy and paste a section from BibleWorks, the Bible, into my sermon, but I ended up reversing the order. And I took part of my sermon and I tried to insert it into the Bible. And that thing set off alarms that I think are still going off, right? And it did. It said, you can't put stuff in the Bible, right? And again, it's a very helpful reminder that as much as I want the Bible to say certain things or to not say others, it says what it says, and we can't get too terribly far from it. And on some Sundays, that's going to represent a big problem because I have to walk you through how something that seems negative is really a blessing. And there are a lot of things that are, but today it's a very easy passage. I chose easy because it's the first day of a whole new preaching season. We just got out of Christmas. And to be honest, I was on vacation, didn't want to think very much. So I stuck with easy. Easy is good, right? So when we look at this section, what we see is that Paul is talking to this church, these collection of churches in Asia Minor, and he's telling them about some really wonderful stuff, truly amazing stuff. So you don't have to really work it very hard. The first thing I want to tell you is that you, according to this passage, are chosen by God. That shouldn't come as a big surprise, but I hope we all recognize and know how wonderful it just feels to be chosen. I, of course, think about my sixth grade experience at the wonderful school that I went to. Now, I don't know if they've changed things. It doesn't seem like it. But middle school gym in my day was a real grind. Those teachers, man, they made you work, right?
you ran and you did laps and you did sit-ups and you did push-ups. But after you did all that, you got to play a game. And the way they assigned teams was they chose a captain, right? It was good if you were the captain, because then all the other players had to come before you, and you, based on your own knowledge of their skills, got to choose who was going to be on your team. Right? Well, for those of you who endured this, if you were a great athlete, this is a no-brainer, right? The first person says, I want that one, right? Do I look like I was a great athlete? Yeah. What? Right? So I wasn't. So I was there left standing in the crowds as they would pick everybody else. And then finally someone would resignedly say, all right, I guess I get Jason or something like that. Right? It's a little humiliating, a little sixth grade humiliation, right? Well, my friend David Fraser and I, equally not athletically gifted, we formed a pact. And the pact was this: when we got elected captain, the very first pick was our friend, right? And so we did it. And I'll tell you what, the day that David was selected by the gym coaches there at the school to be the captain of that team, I was floating on air, man. And when David came up and he said, Jason, it was like the clouds opened and a chorus of angels descended and sang the hallelujah. This is the greatest experience of my life, right? I was picked. I was chosen. I was first. Why do I remember that? Well, because in the same way, you've been chosen and picked and decided upon by God. In an action that happened before the foundations of the earth, God looked upon what you would be and ultimately said, absolutely, yes, part of the team, on the squad. And that is an important selection. You have been chosen by God. This word is very specific in the Greek language. That's one of the things that I remember. I think the word is eklegomai or something like that. And it means chosen, but it doesn't mean chosen arbitrarily, randomly, whimsically. No. Embedded in the word is the absolute connotation picked for a specific trait, reason, goal, end. It isn't the case that God just blindly said, I'm choosing the odds and the even numbers today, and I'll just take the odds and you can have the evens. No. It was much more involved than that. Before the foundations of the earth, before you were you in a way that you would even recognize, God looked upon you, your essence, your soul, your core, your being, however you want to look at it. And he said, yes, I choose you. Friends, there is no more significant selection in your life than that one, and you didn't do anything for it. And it's the greatest news that you will ever hear. Why? Well, because as you read more and more of the Bible, you see what a specialness that this chosen portion of our identity is. Because what the Bible tells us, if we're chosen, first of all, it means that we get to live forever in the kingdom of God. All right? So if you're chosen, you have an eternal dimension. Right? You aren't confined to the before the birth and death dates of your life. No. You're in fact engaged in a story that began long before you were born. Will continue likely after you die unless the kingdom of God comes first. And that God is moving you through these days and phases and seasons of your life with a very clear intent and purpose to make you holy and blameless to serve Him. Now, look, I can understand that maybe some of that language doesn't sound that great. I don't want to necessarily serve someone else. But the fact of the matter is, as you get older in life, you realize you're always serving somebody, right? Whether it's your work, your family, any number of obligations that you have, you're serving something, right? But what God tells you is that you have been chosen, selected, deemed valuable beyond compare, and that now you have a purpose. That is the greatest news, because it means that you are not detached from a great story. That means you are, in fact, in part of the greatest story ever being told with the greatest resolution in the history of the cosmos, right? Like that's, you know, you don't get to say things like that very often, except in a church service, because what God is bringing forward is nothing less than the merging of a new heaven and a new earth. Wow, that's good news, isn't it? Yes, because it means that who you are today, sitting in this sanctuary, is who you are going to be with God forever. Only difference, your sin nature is gone. So everything good about you, when you think about the things that make you you, you probably recognize that you have a list of inventory traits. Some are good, some neutral, and some not so great. Well, now realize that what God is going to do with you as you come into new life is he's going to get rid of all the bad, all the selfishness, all the self-focus, all the pride, all the things that have kept you leading to getting hurt and wounded in this world. God is taking all that away. And then you're going to get to live in a place where there's no sickness, no disease, no death, no envy, no pride, no scamming, no fraud. You'll get to live there forever. And that's not just a pipe dream, right? Like, I guess a lot of people believe that. But the point of Christianity is it's not a pipe dream. Why? Because Jesus has already done it. The claim that Christianity makes that is paramount that we have to hear is that Jesus himself, Paul makes it, was not dead. He was fully dead. Dead as in Hades dead. And that somehow, and by God's power, God reanimated him, really resurrected him, bringing him back to life. But it's not only just normal everyday life. This is fully resurrected life forever. God looked at you in that essence or that form or that whatever it was that God looked at before the foundation of the earth, and he chose you. He destined you for that. You can't lose it, right? Hear that good news, right? God has irretrievably claimed you in a way that is right and fitting and good, and he has guaranteed you heaven. Now, who do you want to serve? Right? I want to serve people that are in my interests, right? That have at heart what I want. Because, you know, I've done 52 laps around the sun dealing with people that really don't put my needs number one. Recently, the car company that I've endeavored to buy cars from for years and years has done the unkindest thing, right? I just don't even understand it. They've turned off my ability to turn on my car remotely from my app. Well, they want to charge me $20 a month for that privilege. I got it for free for 3 years. Now it's time to pay the piper. So I'm at a crux. Do I want to pay them $20 and thus keep my comfort? Or do I want to let that go and see what God has in store for us? Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that the Bible makes that very clear. The world is going to give in a way that I'm ultimately not going to like. And that story about that Hyundai, man, that makes it very clear for me. The world gave me something, but they were just waiting for that day that they could charge me, knowing they got me hooked like some kind of crack addict, right? And pull it back. It's the way the world is. We can't deny it, right? We all have to embrace it. But there is a place, right? The intent and design of God, when he redeemed us, was to not leave us out there, but to send us out with a message, unity, togetherness, one. We come together and worship this God, this powerful, awesome God that looked at all our forms or essences or whatever before the foundations of the earth and said, yes, and we want to follow him. And we do it together. Did you notice that at the end of the passage, it talks about the unity of all things in Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ is in fact, as the Bible proclaims, to be the founder of all things alongside God the Father Almighty, then what we can make the claim is that Jesus is now unifying them all together. Where you feel that pull to be kind or to love or to invite, that's God, right? Where you find fear and anxiety or the desire to shun or to even worse, tell somebody else why they're wrong, you're buying into the dark side. You really are. Because God has made clear for you a path, made clear for us all what he desires from us most especially. And it's that we're unified in him to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world that is in fact dark and growing darker under the power of human sin. God gave you amazing news in this passage. First of all, he told you you're chosen. But it's not just a pointless or a random choosing. You didn't get in because your number was even and he chose the evens that day. You got in because before the foundations of the earth, God looked at whatever was going to be you and said, yes. But he didn't just leave it there. He blessed you. And he blessed you in a way that is with spiritual gifts. What's the difference between spiritual gifts and material gifts? Let me tell you. There's no kidding. I actually knew this. This happened. I was serving the church, and a mother who worked for us was telling us about her son, Adam. Adam had recently participated in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, you know, for kids in the area. Adam, as it would turn out, scored, no kidding, 28 points in this 3-on-3 tournament. All right, well, so the kid's a prodigy, right? In basketball, that happens. Here's the piece that I know and didn't immediately draw the connection to. You see, Adam was born like 7 weeks prematurely. And as a consequence of that premature birth, he was almost entirely blind from birth. He can hardly see. And yet, at a certain time and in a certain way, Adam, that's the boy's name, he felt called to play basketball. Parents were Christian. I'm sure they prayed with him, and I'm sure, you know, parents don't like to see kids fail, and you believe in the bigness of God, but I'm sure that one of the parents was like, but if that doesn't work, you know, there's other things you can do. That kid, he kept praying, and he found a couple of friends that believed in him, too. Anyway, he played in that tournament, and he scored 32 points, or 28, sorry, 28 points. Why? Well, because the kid had the resolve and the awareness to know that anything he asked God the Father in the name of the Son would make, God would make possible. And with that one, he absolutely did. Now, did the kid go on to the NBA? No, it's not a perfect story, right? But what it shows you is that you, like Adam, are indeed spiritually blessed. You've got a strength, a reserve, another gear that you may not even know you have until you use it. And God has shared that with you and wants you to use it liberally and to help others. Because we're a church, we're a community of people that are united in one belief, the belief that Jesus Christ really risen from the grave, has really ascended to heaven, and has really left us here to point to him as we await his coming day, the day of the Lord in which heaven and earth are merged again. And until that day comes, God has filled us with the most important purpose, to bring unity and to shine his light. You know, I look back on moments and I didn't even realize how precious they were. But my very first year as a pastor, I was in the Mount Holly First Presbyterian Church, and they had a tradition to do a live outside nativity. Right now, my path to the ministry was a little odd. I didn't grow up in a church and I didn't do vacation Bible school as a kid. I didn't get that stuff. So, you know, Christmas pageants, I was completely blind to, right? Except now I'm the head pastor at a church having one. I had no idea what I was doing. Thankfully, the people of that church really did. But there was this moment, y'all, and I wish you could be there. It was Christmas Eve and the place was packed and we were doing this live nativity. And it dawned on me that the three wise men coming down the aisle, one of them was a welder, one of them was a butcher, and the other was an executive for American Ineford. High level, really, high level. But there in the wise men in the manger were doctors and others, professionals, alongside other working professions. It began to dawn on me that what Christ is able to do is take people from disparate walks of life, different avenues, we're all on different paths, pursuing different dreams, and then in the fullness of time, he brings us to a place, inspires us with the love of Christ in our hearts, and simply turns us loose into the world. And that what happens and what follows, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is nothing short of amazing. We saw something very similar. I've leapt into my Mount Holly days, but we saw something very similar here at Christmas, didn't we? We saw the coming together of a diverse group of people with one aim and point in mind, which was to make Christ's glory known at Christmas time. And they succeeded mightily, and the pews were filled. We have a message, one with hope, one with purpose, and one with everlasting life. And the more we lean into that, and the more we accept the truth on the page, like we have here in Ephesians, and we recognize, gosh, you know, God has chosen me. He's blessing me with every spiritual blessing, and he's given me a purpose, unity in Christ. When you realize that, you realize that you have all that you need to thrive in this world. You have everything necessary because you have the love of God, you have the love of the people in the pew next to you, and you have a burning desire to share Jesus Christ with the world. And when that happens, man, does that catch fire. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer where we lift up to the Lord those feelings that are weighing upon us. We do that because we believe, and the Word tells us, and we've experienced ourselves, that God doesn't just listen to the words. He indeed takes action. So let us pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just come before you this day amazed at the wonders of your creation. Father God, as we've traveled through the Advent and into the Christmas season, you've astounded us with awarenesses of your love, awarenesses of your presence, of your revelation, and of your unity. And Heavenly Father, now hearing these words, we do indeed respond, Father God. Lift up these words to you, knowing and trusting you. Father God, we look and we see a world that's broken, that struggles and strives to do good and yet only ends up making things worse. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit would descend upon your people and enable us to help, Father God, in any way that we can. Enable the world to see the predicament that we're all in and turn, Father God. Heavenly Father, we pray for the people here in our area that are experiencing homelessness or deprivation of any variety, and we just ask, Father God, that you would provide and help us be part of that process. Father God, we pray wherever anyone is sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would descend, providing not only healing for the body, but unity and purpose for their minds. Gracious God, we think of those that are struggling today, especially remembering those that grieve, and we remember the family of Annie Lucky. We pray for Dale and Connie and all of the family. So too, Heavenly Father, do we pray for Lyle Pace, awaiting heart surgery on Wednesday, so we keep him in our hearts and our prayers. We pray for Sarah Penninger and Jimmy McClure. We pray for Steve Self and Tom McClure, Jill Griffith and Nancy and Richard Smith. We pray for Carrie Trotzer's son, Scott. And we pray all of those who are grieving or caring for a loved one and the many others who stand in need of our intercessory prayers. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all concluding with the prayer Jesus Christ taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We turn now our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for 2023. We thank you for the ways that you've blessed us. We thank you for the ways that you've informed our lives of your presence, of your majesty. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all things, good and bad, knowing, Father God, that you are with us in them all. And now as we return a portion of these blessings back to you, we just pray that you would use it to bring about your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We come now into a time where we'll close the service, and I just want to say, you know, again, what a joy it's been, 2023, as we reach the end of it. Praise God. And now, if we would please be seated, if you could play maybe a little music for a moment, and we'll let, if you are not a member of the church or you just have other things to do, we're going to have a congregational meeting in like 2 or 3 minutes. But Ben, he's not confirmed yet, so he's not technically a member, but he will be soon, right? So the kids will stay. Anyway, a few minutes of music, and then we'll have this meeting very quickly. Okay, Mr. Clerk, serving clerk is Reg King. Reg, do we have a quorum today?
We do, Mr. Moderator.
All right, very good. Then we'll call this meeting to order. Let's open in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for Cook's Church. We pray that you'll continue to bless us with the continued great leaders. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our nominating committee, following the Book of Order, has submitted to us 3 names for service in the class of 2026 as elder. The names brought to us by the nominating committee are Neil Hager, Roy Lynn, and Sandy Thompson. The Book of Order also allows for floor nominations at this point, but we need to be very specific. If you're going to nominate a person, you need to have talked to them ahead of time, and they need to have agreed to serve. That being the case, I now open the floor for any floor nominations. Okay, hearing none, we'll move along to the vote. As this comes from a committee, it does not need a second. We will now proceed to the vote. All those in favor of electing Neil Hager, Roy Lynn, and Sandy Thompson to the elder class of 2026, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. We have now got our elders in line for the class of 2026, and we can adjourn the meeting if we have a motion to do so, followed by a second. All right. All those in favor of concluding the meeting, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Let us close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the legacy of Cook's Church, and we pray over these leaders. We thank you for the leaders that are rotating off, and we just thank you for their service, for their gifts. We continue to love them and wish for their involvement in the church. With this new group of leaders, Father God, surround them with your Holy Spirit. Awaken into them the true ends of your church, and prepare us all for what you will do next at Cook's. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great new year, everybody. I'll see you next week.
west.
Okay. That's always one. Shepherds, why this jubilee?
Yes, why this jubilee?
Why? Right? That's great.
Yes. Life.